Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio. Much more than a message, an offer of true life. Chapter 4. The pre-announcement of the gospel, the living gospel, and the written gospel. The gospel of God, as already seen in previous chapters, is an offer of something real that can be actually assimilated and received, and which should never be confused with a mere message or preaching of theoretical knowledge. The gospel of God is, at the same time, the offer of good news and the availability of the good gifts offered to those who want to receive what is presented to them. Nevertheless, for something to be offered, communication must also be used to make the offer known. It is important to know, however, that a communication presenting an offer can occur basically in three different circumstances, namely: 1. Before the offer is actually available to be delivered. 2. Along with the actual presentation of the offer itself. 3. After the offer is made available. Considering the first of the three aspects mentioned above, we would like to emphasize that the communication that informs about an offer that will be made available at some point in the future is not exactly an announcement of an offer, but it is the pre-announcement of what will yet be offered. We understand that it is of high relevance to note that the circumstances of the pre-announcements, announcements, and latest announcements of the gospel of God may present some great distinctions between them. Moreover, not properly distinguishing what a pre-announcement, announcement, and post-announcement are, may significantly affect a proper relationship with any proposition being presented by some offerer. At the pre-announcement time, for example, the emphasis is in the expectation and hope of what will be presented in the future. At the time of the announcement, the expectation may aim more on the observation of what is presented and on the acceptance or rejection of what is exposed as the offer itself. Already at the post-announcement time, the expectation may encompass the same points of the announcement, but it also may have been increased or even compromised by some historical facts that occurred between the announcement and the present time of the person to whom the news are announced. The pre-announcement of the gospel of God was practiced for many years until it gave way to the practice of the actual announcement, and there is a significant distinction between these two aspects. The pre-announcement of the gospel of God also represents a message from God to human beings, but in which the delivery of the good news is not performed together. In the scriptures, can be found several narratives of pre-announcements made about the gospel of God and made many years before the gospel was actually available to all human beings, such as the following text. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." Many people had received the pre-announcement of God's gospel in many ways before Christ came to the world in the flesh. Soon after the first sin of humanity, carried out in Eden by Adam and Eve, God announced to Eve that a descendant of her would come to tread the deceiving serpent's head, indicating the good news of redemption that would come in the future. This message was also intensified and pre-announced in a more detailed manner to the lineages that followed Adam and Eve. To them, were exposed precise details of what it would be like when the gospel of God would be presented not only as a pre-announced message but, instead, as an offer where there also would occur, together, a delivery of good gifts that were pre-announced until then. The psalmists of the book of Psalms and the prophet Isaiah, for instance, accurately described many details that should be fulfilled when the pre-announcement of the gospel of God would become an announcement accompanied by the own good news announced. The Bible scriptures show us that Isaiah, David, and many others, even reached the grace to see, as yet to come, the good news of God for human beings that would be delivered to humankind when the pre-announcement would give way for the announcement itself of this gospel, as we see below. Acts 2:34-35. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. John 12:41. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory, the glory of Christ, and spoke of him. 1 Peter 1:10 12. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Hebrews 11:13, 39, and 40. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Approximately 4,000 years was the time of the pre-announcement. 4 millennia was the time for the pre-announcement reach its fulfillment and to, after that period, give place for the offer itself. When, however, the time for the announcement came, many did not realize the radical change of circumstances that occurs when there is the end of the pre-announcement time to give way to the time of the announcement. The change from pre-announcement time to the actual offer announcement time went unnoticed by many people, including many who were actually waiting for the announcement. However, the shift from the pre-announcement time to a real and tangible presentation of the offer itself was something incalculably powerful, establishing a change in the facts of the history of the entire universe forever. With the coming of what was pre-announced, the time of prophecy gave place to the time of the accelerated fulfillment of the contents that the prophecies declared. The process that initiated the establishment of what was pre-announced in the prophecies was the very coming of the gospel of God, which is a ratification of the pre-announced messages, but with the difference that in it also is included the delivery of what was promised. Matthew 11:13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Luke 24:44. Then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. A prophet, known as John the Baptist, ended or closed the period of the pre-announcement and collaborated with God in the preparation and introduction of the time of the presentation of the very offer of the gospel of God. Luke 3:15-20. Now as the people were in expectation, and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. 16 John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations he preached, the gospel, to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this, above all, that he shut John up in prison. The time of John the Baptist was brief because the proclamation of the gospel of God would no longer be primarily by prophecy, but rather by the offer of an effective delivery of the pre-announced good news for centuries. So, soon after John the Baptist began the proclamation of the good news to human beings, the magnificent good news became materialized in fact before humans. John 1:19-36. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." While the privilege of pre-announcing the gospel of God was given to many prophets, John the Baptist was given the privilege of introducing the very gospel of God to human beings. John the Baptist began his preaching pre-announcing the gospel as the other prophets, but suddenly he switched to proclaim the gospel itself and pointed directly to it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist saw the good news coming from God being delivered to human beings right before his eyes and before those to whom the Lord initially addressed his gospel. The good news of God announced by John the Baptist, sent by God to be the forerunner of the gospel of God, started now to be delivered to humans no longer by a prophet or by any other human who was also sinful as everyone else, but by the Son of the living God himself. Moreover, the good news of God started to be delivered by the Son of the living God dwelling among the people in a body of bones, blood, and flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ was delivering the good news of God in the environment where people lived on earth so that they could be seen, heard, and touched by those who lived even in the dark regions of the earth. What had been promised and prophesied by many, and also by John the Baptist, was now being presented and offered materialized in flesh and blood before the people to whom the gospel of God had previously been pre-announced. The pre-announcements spoken, sung, expressed in visions, and written in dozens of scriptures, now took on a tangible expression, palpable even by the natural senses of human beings, since dense darkness dulled their senses of spiritual understanding. Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Matthew 4:16. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death light has dawned. If the pre-announcement went through many generations in oral and written manner, the actual announcement of the gospel of God was God's own living life presented in a way materially tangible among human beings. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The gospel of God is incomparable, unique, and unparalleled, for, through its living offer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself came as the Son of Man to personally deliver the good news that he also pre-announced by proclamation for thousands of years. God always fulfills what he promises. That is why, in due time, there is no distance between God's word of action and the fulfillment of what he speaks. The word of God is living, it is powerful, and it is not like empty words that human beings so often utter. Genesis 1, 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Genesis 1, 26-27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. 1 Corinthians 4, 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. Psalms 29, 1-11. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders, the Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness, the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth, and strips the forests bare, and in his temple everyone says, "Glory!" The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Hebrews 1, 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In this last text above of Hebrews 1, it can be noted that the word of God comes out of the power of God. It is from the power of God that his word is given. That is why there is no word of God that does not produce the effect for which it was given. Isaiah 55, 10-11. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The gospel of God is powerful because it is an offer that has its origin in God Almighty himself. If at the season of the pre-announcements the word of God waited for the appropriate time for its manifestation, at the period of the gospel of God itself, the word came with power and glory, revealing what had been pre-announced about Christ, the living and mighty word of God. God had foretold that the Lord Jesus Christ would be born as the Son of Man in Bethlehem, and even kings that were resistant to God established orders and decrees for this to happen. God said that his Son would be born among human beings in a manger and in a humble place. Therefore, the power of God worked for that the lodgings got crowded and that only the place appointed for the birth of his son was left as an option for Joseph and Mary to lodge themselves in. Although Christ's birth occurred under very ordinary conditions at the sight of most of men and women, the events that introduced the living gospel of God into the world mobilized circumstances that could never be put together with such precision by human beings themselves. Since the announcement of the birth of Christ to Mary, the gospel was no longer delivered only in the manner of a message, but also in the form of power and life, for the Christ announced by the angel Gabriel was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Maria shortly after the announcement. Luke 1, 26-35, 37, and 45. Now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. For with God nothing will be impossible. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Mary received the proclamation of the gospel of God toward her life, and because it also was actually the gospel of God, she also received from God the gift of the good news announced to her. From the day of the announcement made to Mary and from the day the Lord visited her through the Holy Spirit, a new time was manifested on earth and among all human beings. The pre-announcement was now the announcement with the delivery of what was offered. Although there were scriptures in those days, there was still no gospel written when the gospel was actually announced. The gospel was not written first and then offered. Despite that the gospel was pre-announced, the living gospel of God itself was offered before it was written in a more detailed manner, because it did not come as a letter, but it came as a living offer of life from the heavenly kingdom. The Christ offered by God to humanity is the greatest living manifestation of the life of the gospel of God. Luke 2, 9-12. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." If at the ancient time there was once a season of pre-announcements and people needed to wait for the fulfillment of this period for the actual coming of the gospel of God, with the birth and announcement of Christ, the gospel of God came in the form that is pertinent to it. That is, it arrived to announce what also had been manifested. During the time when the good news of God was also as a man on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, no new scriptures were written down, because the message and the good news of God were present together in Christ among human beings. There was no need for the good news of the gospel to be written in paper and ink at that period that Christ was on the earth, for the gospel was living, visibly, and palpably among the people in the world. Some saw that the Lord Jesus was the Christ who was to come into the world, saw in him the good news that should come into the world. Others did not notice him. Still, others noticed him, but also despised him. When the gospel was manifested to the world in Christ Jesus, the pre-announcement spoken, written, sung and told in history and through visions given by God became the very offer accompanied by the delivery. The promises that declared that the time was near were replaced by the proximity and availability of access to what had been promised. The gospel of God came to change the way of communicating the messages of God toward human beings forever. From the coming of the gospel of God on earth, the communication that God intended for people was re-established to the kind of communication that God always aimed to do with them. God has always intended to guide people by talking to them personally and directly, as also exemplified by the prophet Jeremiah as follows. Jeremiah 7:22-24. For I did not speak to your fathers, or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Hebrews 8:10-12. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. The expression after those days, used by the prophet Jeremiah, symbolizes the time after the pre-announcements that gave rise to the period of the offer of the gospel of God itself, for at the time of the actual coming of the gospel, what was promised was also delivered. The gospel of God encompasses, at the same time, 1, the announcement, 2, the offer, and 3, the proper time and due conditions for the acceptance and receiving of the living or real new covenant offered by God. Since the coming of Christ to the world as the eternal gospel of God, the way of the new covenant was open to everyone who believes in Christ and receives him as the central good news of the heavenly gospel. Hebrews 9:15. And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. We saw briefly in this chapter, some texts that show us the change that occurred by the switching of the pre-announcement period to the offer time, where, through the offer of the good news that is in the gospel of God, the new covenant was established. What a precious change of times the Heavenly Father has provided for humankind through Christ Jesus, to the point of humanity also using this time change even as a reference throughout its historical references, dividing the nomination of history into before Christ and after Christ. The change of circumstances caused by the coming of the gospel was so great and significant that the reference to human times got divided into two entirely different times. At this point, however, we understand that there is again the need for special attention to what occurred by the time of the actual coming of the gospel of God to the world. It is important to note that the coming of the gospel of God divided the reference to the time of humanity in two, not in three. The time of the announcement of the gospel of God came ending or finishing the period of the pre-announcement, but, on the other hand, it did not come to bring a distinct period between the announcement and the post-announcement. It is paramount to know that the time of the offer of the good news inaugurated by the gospel of God, in exchange for the pre-announcements period, was not limited to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ inhabited on earth as the Son of Man. The season of the heavenly offer or the gospel was given by God to be among human beings until the end of the period of humankind on earth. The Heavenly Father, through Christ, did not share a short time of his offer of the gospel to human beings, but he inaugurated the new time for the offer to remain being offered until the end of mankind's period on earth. The season of the announcement of the gospel, which began more than 2,000 years ago, will never be replaced by another similar time on earth. It can only be accepted, exalted, broadcasted, and so on, by preaching and witnessing, so that people may hear and know more and more the gospel of God already presented for centuries, but which remains available in a lively and real way as in the early days of its first presentation. Revelation 14:6-7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water." Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The gospel of God was given to those who saw it in person, but it also applies to all who hear it later than this initial time. The Heavenly Father gave His only begotten Son once and for all. Thereby, there is no need that the act by which Christ gave His life for the rescue of people should be repeated more times. Hebrews 7:27. Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Hebrews 10:10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Christ, even though he is no longer physically in the flesh and blood among humankind, remains the same good news of God always accessible to everyone who believes in the gospel of God. Christ, also now, is the same offer of the gospel of God present everywhere through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:2b. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Once the central or primary good news of the gospel of God has been given as an offer to the world, even though it is no longer physically walking among people, it has already been given eternally. Therefore, it will never be removed or transformed into pre-announcement in the life of the one who keeps on believing in the gospel of God. The gospel of God remains alive forever. If there was a pre-announcement before, there is no post-announcement today, as referring to something that happened only in the past and to a small or special group of people of a specific era. The gospel of God remains a living offer of life as it has been since its announcement. Christ gave himself for all people, regardless of nation, people, tribe, race, language, or time in which a person was born and lived on earth. The gospel of God has been established once for all and forever for all those who receive it in their life. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, pre-announced glad news of the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." New King James Version Plus, Author's Added Expression. 1 John 2:2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only but also for the whole world. John 20:29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." It is very relevant to understand the points presented above in order not to fall back on the idea that the life of faith in Christ is just a life of pre-announcements and an expectation of what is to come, as if the life of Christ could only be achieved with Him being present in the flesh on earth, or yet only after His another coming to rescue His church. At the very moment that a person receives the gospel of God in his or her heart, one also receives the gift of the good news of the gospel, even if this individual does not experience immediately all of what is encompassed in the gift bestowed by God. Romans 5:5-11. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. A person who receives the gospel of God does not need to wait for a near or distant future to have fellowship with God, for the moment one receives it, one can practice the relationship with the Lord because one has already been reconciled with him through Christ Jesus. The firm understanding that the gospel of God continues to be, also at present, an offer that delivers what is announced, is fundamental so that a person does not fall back on the idea of the period of the pre-announcement that existed before the coming of Christ in the flesh on earth. To believe in the gospel of God only as a pre-announcement or a message is to believe in something that is no longer applicable to the present day. To discern the time or period in which a person lives, can be of enormous relevance regarding the objectives or goals that this individual may see as possible or reachable. Although a Christian in the world can still be exposed to many struggles and temptations, this does not mean that one cannot have Christ and the Lord's peace in one's heart already at present and that one cannot live already a life of communion or fellowship with the Lord Almighty. Moreover, one aspect that perhaps contributes to the point that people get confused between the present availability of the living gospel of God and the pre-announcement mentality of the time before the revelation of this gospel is the fact that the gospel of God itself, even after its abundant revelation to humanity, also was recorded in scriptures that were inspired by God. The fact that the gospel of the Lord is also recorded in scriptures inspired by God, however, does not make the gospel as a scripture similar to those that pre-announced the gospel. That is also why, in the subject named The Letter or Life, we seek to explore more extensively the difference between the writings and the life itself that the writings describe. The scriptures of the gospel of God, primarily, are given so that the person who reads them believes and receives, through faith in the author of the scriptures, the life that the written records about the gospel announce. They are not given with the purpose that a person creates only a future expectation of the new life in the Lord, as many would do at the time of the pre-announcements. While the scriptures previous to the gospel announced the life to come, the scriptures directly related to the gospel of God repeatedly announce the life that has already been made available and can now be accessed by everyone who believes in the gospel of God and in the good news that comes with it. 1 John 1:1-3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. The written gospel was never given to replace the actual new life that is available in God. It was given as yet another way of witnessing to people in the world that the life of the living gospel is already available to all who believe in it and that this life is in Christ and not in the scriptures themselves. The scriptures about the gospel are given to point to the new life that already can be reached in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 20:29-31. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The scriptures of the Gospel of God are immeasurably valuable and were recorded with love, sacrifice, and even with the cost of lives so that they could reach us. However, once again, life is not in the scriptures themselves, for life goes on and will always remain in the one who has given the Holy Gospel and all the good gifts that go with it. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The scriptures about the Gospel of God can serve many wonderful purposes, such as giving people instruction on various aspects of the Gospel of God, as well as cooperating with people for that they may surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and so gaining eternal life. The scriptures about the Gospel of God serve as security and protection for a person to avoid going beyond what the Gospel offers and also not wanting to impute to others a life that falls short or beyond the Gospel that God has announced. Moreover, the scriptures on the Gospel of God also may serve to make learning about the contents of the Gospel faster and understood in a more structured way. The scriptures on the Gospel of God, still, serve as historical records about the facts narrated that took place and that many of them can be proven chronologically and even archaeologically for those to whom this confirmation is also so relevant. All of these aspects mentioned in the last paragraphs are more than excellent, but despite this, the scriptures on the Gospel of God should never take the place of the living relationship with the also living, main, and central good news that accompanies the Gospel of God, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:12-13. He who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Even the writings prior to the actual offer of the Gospel of God have, repeatedly, pre-announced that there is a new life and a new relationship with God to be received at the moment when a person hears and receives the living Gospel. The fact that God has inspired people to describe main parts of his Gospel in several writings or scriptures aims that more and more people can hear it and also for that the information of the facts of its coming is preserved as it occurred, as well as for a formal testimony that the Gospel of God has actually and already come on earth. Nevertheless, the fact that God inspired people to describe his Gospel is not for people to go back to the ways of the time before the coming of Christ, where basically they just had a pre-announcement of what would come in the future. From the moment that the Gospel of God was announced, and its main gift was made available to human beings, it is never again necessary to wait for a future time to begin to receive the life described in the Gospel, for it is already available to the one who believes in it and to whom calls on the Lord for salvation. Just as the writings before the coming of Christ testified of his coming, the writings on the coming and actual giving of the Gospel of God bear witness to him who has already come. The life of the gospel was not in the scriptures recorded before Christ, but they pointed to him. Similarly, the life of the gospel is not in the scriptures recorded after Christ, but they also point to him. The life of the gospel of God continues in Christ as it also was even before the pre-announcement of this gospel, and so it will remain for eternity. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The gospel of God, as already mentioned above, is not the scripture itself about the gospel. The holy gospel itself, being primarily the Lord Jesus Christ, is not just the expression of good writings but it is the expression of real and substantial new life in the Lord. The gospel of God is Christ, the God Emmanuel, God with us every day until the end of the present age, also as it is God with us for all eternity. Matthew 1:22-23. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us.